Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. Today we're tackling a really fascinating piece of research. It digs deep into the physics behind some of the most, well, perplexing UAP observations. We're diving into a paper titled Towards Resolving Nonlinear Nonlocal Observations of Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, UAP, and Development of Advanced Aerospace Technologies.
That's quite a title. Ambitious, certainly.
It is, isn't it? But it signals a potentially quite a groundbreaking way of looking at these phenomena.
Yeah, it suggests we might need a new lens.
Exactly. This paper comes from Dr. Andrew Morgan, linked with the government of Western Australia, and it was published March 2025. The core idea, really, that Dr. Morgan explores is that the key to understanding UAP might lie in revisiting electromagnetism.
Going back to the foundations.
Sort of, yeah. Specifically looking back at Maxwell's original equations and, crucially, re-examining the role of something called the scalar field.
Right. It's like saying our current standard model, you know, successful as it is, might have some blind spots for these really unusual sightings.
Mm-hmm. And for everyone listening who wants to get a solid handle on this, but maybe without getting lost in super dense jargon, that's what this deep dive is about. We're pulling out the key ideas.
Extracting the core insights, yeah.
Yeah.
Making it accessible, but still rigorous.
Exactly. I mean, think about some of the things people report seeing. Lights just blinking out and reappearing instantly, miles away.
Uh-huh. The non-locality thing.
Or objects hitting incredible speeds with no sonic boom, no obvious engines, or just hovering. Silent.
Yeah, motionless. How?
Right. This paper dives into a really intriguing potential explanation for all that weirdness, and we're going to unpack it for you.
Okay, let's get into it.
So the paper starts by really emphasizing just how strange, how physically challenging some of these UAP reports are.
And it's not just random stories, right?
Mm.
The paper focuses on the types of observations that consistently push against our current physics.
Like the vanishing lights you mentioned, that instant disappearance and reappearance. Non-locality, as the paper calls it. That's not easy to explain with, well, anything we typically use.
Right. No, it's not like a plane just flying over the horizon. It's here one moment, gone the next, then back somewhere else.
And then there's the acceleration. Extreme speeds, but without the inertia effects we'd expect. No G-forces tearing things apart.
Exactly. Physics 101 says force equals mass times acceleration. And accelerating massive objects very quickly requires immense continuous force. These things seem to bypass that somehow.
Or the hovering. Just hanging there.
That sustained hover, yeah.
Yeah.
Huge puzzle. Gravity's pulling down, so something must be pushing up. But what? We don't see wings, we don't see rotors, no visible thrust.
Nothing.
So the paper argues, quite rightly, that these consistent anomalies mean we probably need to, you know, broaden our scientific view a bit, reevaluate.
It feels like we're seeing effects, but the causes just don't fit into our current models.
Precisely. Which leads us right to the core idea. Revisiting Maxwell's equations.
Now, most people know Maxwell in connection with electricity and magnetism, standard stuff. But Dr. Morgan's paper argues we need to go back to his original work, classical electrodynamics.
That's a key point. The equations most engineers use today, they're actually a streamlined version, simplified later on.
Oh, okay.
Maxwell's very first formulations, they included a mathematical piece called a scalar function. And it apparently played a pretty big role in how he initially described electromagnetism.
A scalar function, part of the original picture. So why isn't it common knowledge now? The paper mentions Oliver Heaviside.
Right. Heaviside did some really important work in the late 1800s. He made Maxwell's theory much more practical, especially for engineers working on things like telegraphs and radio. He focused on vector fields.
Made it easier to use, basically.
Yeah, much easier to calculate with for those applications. But Dr. Morgan's paper suggests that in that streamlining process, this scalar function was effectively removed, or at least sidelined, from the main equations.
Okay, so simplified, but maybe oversimplified, we might have lost something important.
That's the argument. That in making the equations more convenient for vector-based phenomena like radio waves, we might have inadvertently obscured insights into other aspects of electromagnetism, aspects that might be relevant to these more exotic UAP observations.
Like making a recipe easier but losing some of the key flavor, maybe?
That's a pretty good analogy, actually. Yeah.
So this missing scalar function.
Yeah.
How does the Lorentz gauge fit in? The paper flags that as a challenge.
The Lorentz gauge. Okay, so this is a mathematical condition, sort of a choice you make when working with electromagnetic potentials.
Potentials, like the underlying fields.
Exactly. The electric potential and the magnetic vector potential. They give rise to the electric and magnetic fields we actually measure. Now, mathematically, any 3D vector field, like the magnetic field, can be split into two parts.
Two parts?
Yeah, a circulating part, like a whirlpool, and a back-and-forth part, kind of longitudinal. The circulating bit is tied to the vector potential A, and the longitudinal part is linked to a scalar function.
Okay. I think I'm starting to see the link back to the scalar function. So the magnetic field has these two aspects. How does the Lorentz gauge affect that?
Well, the paper argues that the way Heaviside rewrote one of Maxwell's equations, the one for the magnetic field involving A, it introduced a kind of mathematical flexibility. An arbitrary scalar function could be added without actually changing the final magnetic field you calculate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like a mathematical loophole.
Sort of. This flexibility is called gauge invariance, and it led to gauge theory. The Lorentz gauge is one specific way to fix that flexibility, one specific choice of gauge. And it's popular because it simplifies things, especially for describing waves traveling through space.
But there's always a but.
But Dr. Morgan contends making that specific choice using the Lorentz gauge effectively cancels out or ignores those longitudinal scalar components. Not just for the vector potential, but also for the electric field and even the electric current density in many standard setups.
Wow. So by picking this useful mathematical tool, the Lorentz gauge, we might have just filtered out a whole dimension of electromagnetism, this scalar aspect, because it wasn't needed for radio waves and stuff.
That's the core of the argument, yes. The paper suggests the Lorentz gauge is great for transverse waves, like light, but maybe not sufficient for more complex stuff, like non-local effects or weird energy transfers, things we see hinted at in UAP reports. Maxwell's original equations, the argument goes, held a more complete picture before this gauge fixing became standard.
Okay, which brings us right to the significance of this scalar function. The paper really pushes for putting it back into Maxwell's equations for what it terms extended electrodynamics. Why is that so critical, especially for UAP?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. The paper proposes that the full, correct version of Maxwell's equations needs this four-gradient of a scalar electrodynamic field.
A four-gradient. What does that mean practically?
It means looking at how this scalar field changes, not just in the three dimensions of space, but also across time. So space and time. And crucially, the paper suggests this scalar field isn't just math. It actually acts as an electrodynamic pressure field.
Pressure, like atmospheric pressure.
Kind of analogous, yeah. It's a scalar quantity. It has magnitude, but no specific direction at a point. And it could exert a real physical influence, a pressure.
Yeah. An electrodynamic pressure. That sounds like it could potentially explain some things, like maybe those anti-gravity type effects people report.
It's definitely a tantalizing possibility the paper explores. And here's something even bigger. Dr. Morgan suggests that including this four-gradient scalar pressure field might make the whole theory compatible with Einstein's general relativity.
Whoa, linking electromagnetism and gravity, that's like the holy grail of physics.
It is. The idea is that this scalar field's properties could be the missing link, the bridge between these two fundamental forces.
Okay, that's huge. So putting this scalar field back in, what does it change in the equations themselves?
Well, the paper details how it adds new terms into Gauss's law that governs electric fields, and also the Ampere-Maxwell law, which deals with magnetic fields. And maybe even more interestingly, this expanded theory predicts completely new types of electromagnetic waves.
New waves. Beyond the light and radio we know?
Yeah. It predicts a pure scalar wave, plus things called scalar longitudinal waves and scalar helicoidal waves, waves carried by the scalar pressure field itself.
Right. So if these scalar waves are real, how could they possibly explain what UAP are doing, the impossible maneuvers? This is where theory meets observation, right?
Exactly. The hypothesis put forward is that UAP might be interacting with a universally present energy field, possibly a higher dimensional one. And this scalar field is proposed as a prime candidate for that field.
So UAP aren't necessarily generating all their own energy, but tapping into something that's already there, the scalar field.
That's the idea, harnessing the energy of this field to pull off those extreme maneuvers and behaviors.
Okay, like plugging into the universe's background energy source.
In a way.
Huh?
And here's where it connects to the speed and movement. The paper explores the theoretical idea that these scalar waves could travel faster than light.
Faster than light?
At least along the axis of normal transverse electromagnetic waves. Think of them like superluminal pressure ripples propagating through this background scalar field.
Okay, faster than light travel or communication. That would obviously explain instantaneous jumps or seemingly impossible speeds.
It could provide a mechanism, yeah.
Right.
The paper goes further, suggesting UAP might generate these scalar waves deliberately as a form of propulsion or navigation.
Generating scalar waves to move.
And possibly to perform what the paper calls interdimensional transits. Now, we need to be careful with that term.
Right, it sounds like science fiction.
It does, but in the context of the paper, it seems to mean maneuvering within this more complete four-dimensional scalar field framework. Not necessarily jumping in a whole other universe, but navigating within a deeper structure of our own reality that includes this scalar dimension.
So less like a portal, more like using hidden pathways within space-time by manipulating this scalar field.
That's a good way to put it. The idea is that they could align their scalar wave production with the field to effectively shift between different coordinate sets in this scalar realm while still physically existing in our familiar electromagnetic vector world.
Accessing a deeper level of control over space and time via this scalar field.
That seems to be the implication. It's definitely mind-bending stuff.
Absolutely. And the paper's title mentions advanced aerospace tech. So this isn't just about explaining UAP, is it? It's hinting at future possibilities for us.
That's right. The suggestion is, if we can understand how UAP might be interacting with the scalar field, assuming the theory holds up, we could potentially learn to do it ourselves.
Develop our own technologies based on it.
Exactly. If we could learn to generate, detect, maybe control these scalar waves,
yeah,
it could revolutionize propulsion, energy, communication, everything.
What kind of specific applications are hinted at?
Well, the paper explicitly mentions developing transmedium craft. Vehicles that could operate seamlessly in air, space, maybe underwater, without the usual limitations of wings or propellers.
Wow. And the really big one.
The really big one is the theoretical possibility of superluminal transit. Traveling between stars or planets in drastically shorter times.
Going to Mars in hours instead of months, or other stars in weeks.
Potentially. Imagine interstellar travel becoming feasible within human lifespans. It would completely change humanity's future.
An absolute paradigm shift, but it all rests on this theory being right and then figuring out the engineering.
Absolutely. It hinges on rigorous scientific follow-up, testing these ideas, looking for evidence of these scalar effects. Dr. Morgan's paper lays out a compelling theoretical path, but it needs experimental validation.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. To summarize the absolute core of Dr. Morgan's argument for everyone listening, what are the main takeaways?
I'd say first, the idea that UAP weirdness, the non-locality, the extreme acceleration, hovering, might be explainable if we go back to Maxwell's original, more complete electrodynamic.
And reinstate that scalar function, that scalar field.
Exactly. A scalar field that the paper argues also acts as a kind of electrodynamic pressure. This could be the physical basis for how they move, maybe how they interact with gravity, potentially even linking electromagnetism and gravity.
And our current standard approach, often using the Lorentz gauge, might actually be hiding this scalar reality from us.
That's the suggestion, that our mathematical tools, while useful for certain things, might be filtering out this fundamental aspect that UAP, perhaps, have learned to interact with.
So understanding this extended electrodynamics isn't just about UAP. It could unlock revolutionary tech for us, too. Transmedium craft, maybe even superluminal travel down the line.
Those are the potential long-term implications, yes. It opens up incredibly exciting possibilities.
It really is a profound perspective. You have to wonder, could these seemingly impossible UAP sightings actually be our first glimpse, our first clues towards a whole deeper level of physics?
A physics we're only just starting to grapple with theoretically.
Yeah. What else might we be missing? What other forces or fields? It really drives home why we need to keep questioning, keep investigating anomalies, even revisit theories we thought were completely settled.
Couldn't agree more. Open minds and rigorous science.
Well, thank you for taking this deep dive with us into Dr. Morgan's really fascinating paper. Lots to think about there. Keep your minds open, keep questioning, and keep exploring.